Good afternoon, everyone. It's a real privilege to be sharing with you this afternoon something that the Lord has put on my heart. But before I start, I just want to share who we are. My name is Richard van der Ruit. I'm married to my wife Sue for 30 years this year. And we've had a wonderful relationship with St. Mary's Dedham for the last 28 years. But I want to share something with you, what the Lord has been putting on my heart over these last 10 weeks during the lockdown period. We are at present on lockdown in Uganda. We cannot leave the country, even though we should have been back in South Africa about 2.5 months ago, where we are part of a church group, where we're part of leadership. But we can't go back because the airport is closed. And it has been during this time of lockdown that the Lord has led me again and again to meditate on Paul's letter to the Philippians. But before I start to share about that, something in my preparation has come to mind. And it's about something that happened actually 29 years ago. It's about a Russian cosmonaut who was left behind in space. His name is Sergei Krikalev. He was in space when the Soviet Union collapsed. Perhaps some of you can remember that. Unable to come home, he wound up spending 2 times longer than originally planned in orbit. They simply refused to bring him back. While tanks were rolling through Moscow's Red Square, people built barricades on bridges. Mikhail Gorbachev and the Soviet Union went the way of history. But Sergei Krikalev was in space, 350 kilometers away from Earth. The Mir space station was his temporary home. His nickname, or he was nicknamed, the last citizen of the USSR. When the Soviet Union broke apart into 15 separate states in 1991, Krikalev was told that he could not return home because his country that had promised to bring him back no longer existed. How did this happen? 4 months earlier, Krikalev, a 33-year-old flight engineer, had set off for the Mir space station from Soviet Baikonur Cosmodrome, which is located in Kazakhstan. Krikalev's mission was supposed to last 5 months, and his training had not prepared him to be in space longer than this. Then the coup d'etat happened. Krikalev was told that there was no money to bring him back. A month later, he still got the same answer. Mission Control was asking him to stay out a bit longer. After a month, another month passed. But still the same answer, yet again. They say it's tough for me, not really good for my health. But now the country is in such difficulty. The chance to save money must be the top priority, Discovery magazine quoted him as saying. Sounds familiar? Lockdown that just goes on and on and on? Well, in Krikalev's case, the mission lasted twice as long as originally planned. He spent 10 months in space, unwittingly setting a world record in the process. Krikalev finally returned to Earth on March 25th, 1992, after Germany paid $24 million to purchase a ticket for his replacement, Klaus Dietrich Flade. Upon landing, a man with 4 letters, USSR, and a red Soviet flag on a spacesuit emerged from the Soyuz capsule. One report described his appearance as pale, as flour and sweaty, like a lump of wet dough. But then the whole world had heard about this victim of space. While Krikalev was away, the outskirts of Arkalik, the city where he landed, had ceased to be Soviet and had instead become part of the independent Republic of Kazakhstan. The city where he lived was no longer called Leningrad. It had become St. Petersburg. While in space, he had orbited the Earth 5,000 times, and the territory of his own country had shrunk by more than 5 million square kilometers. the Communist Party, and the Soviet Union, which had ruled the country since 1920, had ceased to be a political monopolist and was instead just one of many parties. Lockdown in the Bible. Yes, we can even see lockdown in the Bible. Krikalev was locked down in the Mir space station. You see, the Bible is not unfamiliar with lockdowns. Joseph was locked in prison for 2 years, but also separate from his family for 22 years. Daniel was locked down with lions. Jeremiah was locked up to his neck in a stinking, muddy cistern. John the Baptist, James, Peter, Paul, and Silas, and even Jesus were at various times locked in prison. Not to forget the Apostle Paul, locked away on the Isle of Patmos. Not one of them deserved to be locked away. All were confined because of doing or believing the right thing. I would, however, like to focus on Paul, locked under house arrest in rented accommodation in Rome, most likely chained to a Roman guard. What about our lockdown? We have in the history of the world not been in a situation like we are in today. We are locked in our homes. We have been prohibited from going out, going to work, going to school, and especially banned from going to church. We're not allowed to spend time with our friends, family, colleagues, or fellow believers. The fellowship of the saint has been made illegal. Now, this last one is, again, not a new thing. In many countries, getting together as believers is forbidden, especially in countries hostile to Christ. But who would have thought that this would happen in the Western world, in the free world, in our world? We can try to understand the reasons and try to look for answers, and the internet is awash with theories. We can try to grasp the implications for ourselves, our family, and the people around us, even though they aren't around at present. Where do we find answers that help us now, in and through this season? How long will it last? When will we be able to get back to normal? And what will this new normal look like? At this unusual time, we are most of all confronted with ourselves. And we ask questions like, how do I cope? How do I respond? How do you handle this situation, which is totally out of your control? How do you process the decisions the authorities are making? Do you complain? Get angry, frustrated, fearful, worried, anxious, etc.? Especially when your source of income is fading away, bills are stacking up, losing your job, your home, your car, or savings are and have been increasingly a reality, interestingly, many people are asking why God is allowing this to happen. It's always easy to put the blame at his feet. Instead, however, we must ask, Lord, what are you doing at this time? And what would you like me to do? This is where focusing on Paul during his time of lockdown can really help us. Because it was during his confinement that Paul wrote most of his letters. It was, in that regard, a very productive time, with consequences for the whole church age. For me especially, his letter to the church in Philippi stands out. I've read it about 6 times during this lockdown. The letter could easily be named the letter of joy. This is a recurring theme in every chapter. Joy is mentioned 5 times, rejoice 6 times, glad 3 times, and cheered 1 time. Paul did not pray like David. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me? It seems forever. Paul was very aware that he was in lockdown because of his stance for the gospel. He also was conscious of how God was using him during this time of confinement, the impact his attitude had on the believers around him, as well as on the churches he had a deep relationship with. He wrote, "It's right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. Philippians 1, 7 to 8. This is how Paul felt about his fellow believers in Philippi, whom he cared for and missed so deeply and longed to see again, but he couldn't. So, what can we learn from Paul during this lockdown? What did he do? Now, Paul wrote a number of letters in this period. He wrote the letter, obviously, to the Philippians, but also to the Ephesians, the Colossians, and the letter to Philemon. So, what we see that Paul did during this lockdown, he communicated with his friends, with the believers, by writing them letters. But he also prayed for them and for the churches and wrote down what he prayed for. In all my prayers, he prays, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. That's in Philippians 1, verse 4 to 11. I really want to challenge you. Read through this. Meditate on it. And look at what was Paul's attitude during the lockdown. You see, it wasn't about himself. His concern was not about his situation. His concern was for his friends and fellow believers. Next, Paul continued to preach the gospel. Philippians 1, 12 to 14. He believed so strongly that the Lord had orchestrated his house arrest and that it enhanced his ministry. He wrote, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. I am in lockdown for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. So during his house arrest, Paul was grateful that the gospel was not chained. He boldly shared the message about Jesus so that the whole palace guard in Rome got to know the gospel message. Next we can read that Paul trusted the Lord for his future. In Philippians 1, 18 to 21, it says the following. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, what really puzzled me is that Paul never prayed for his situation to be changed. He totally embraced his lockdown situation. Though Paul knew that the believers prayed for him, he does not request them to pray for his deliverance. No, he wants to be useful during his time of lockdown. Next, Paul told the believers not to be anxious, but instead to be joyful, thankful, and prayerful. Well, that is a challenge. How are you responding? How have you been responding during this time of lockdown? Have you been responding with joy, with thanks, and with prayer? Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Well, how are you being seen during your lockdown? How are your relationships with your children, with your spouse, with your carers? Do they see your gentleness? Is it evident to all that you are a gentle person because of what Jesus is doing in you and through you? And you may be separated from your family. You may be separated, living on your own, not seeing your children, not seeing your grandchildren. But remember, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. He is always with us. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor abandon you. I will always be with you till the very end. What a comfort. What a comfort to know that even though we are separated from contact with other believers, from contact with our family members, from contact with our loved ones, no one can separate us from the love of Christ. The Lord is near. Paul continues to challenge the church by saying, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What an amazing promise. If we are joyful, thankful, and prayerful, then the peace of God will come upon us. And it goes beyond our understanding. We cannot understand it. But it is available. If we do things right, we will receive God's benefits in doing right. What else did Paul do? Well, he challenged them in three areas. Beyond the point I've already shared, he challenged them to follow Jesus' example. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. You see, this sounds perhaps strange, but Jesus was on sort of a lockdown. He was locked out of heaven. See, heaven was his home, but he was locked out and locked on earth. But what was his attitude like? And Paul says the following in Philippians 2, as I said, 2:5-8, in your relationships with one another, have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to death on a cross. What an amazing example, what an amazing attitude Jesus had whilst he was on earth, whilst he was ministering and communicating the kingdom, bringing the kingdom into the world. What was his attitude like? What an amazing example. And Paul challenges the believers, have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. Then he challenged them to follow his own example. He says in Philippians 3:17, join together in following my example, brothers. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. And then in Philippians 4 verse 9, he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So again, if we do what is right, God's peace will be with us. And interestingly, peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is not the absence of lockdown. Peace is not the absence of coronavirus. Peace is not the absence of a media that is fueling the fear factor. Peace is the presence of Jesus in the midst of all this. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but fear not. I have overcome the world. He doesn't say, fear not, because I will take away your trouble. No, peace is the presence of Jesus in the midst of trouble. Then, next, he challenged them to be an example. And that's a challenge
for all of us. So we follow Jesus's example. We look at Paul's example and the example of other believers who follow Jesus. But then ultimately, the Lord wants you and me to be an example. In Philippians 2:14-16, Paul challenges and says, do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold out the word of life. You see, our testimony gets totally destroyed by grumbling and arguing, by complaining and being bitter about what is happening. No, do everything without grumbling or arguing. And then you become an example to the people around you. They will see you as children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. They will recognize the light that shines in you and through you as you share the word of life. Just some concluding thoughts. We don't know what is going to happen. We don't know when the lockdown is going to be lifted and what the world will look like once things go back to normal. We don't know when we can leave our homes again and travel around in freedom, be together again. But just like the Russian cosmonaut Sergei Krikalev found at the end of his confinement in space, our world will also have changed. We must make sure that we don't become known like him as a victim of space, in our case, victims of lockdown. Instead, let us remember with Paul, if I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Let us make sure we continue to be useful to Jesus, to be useful in his church, and useful in the advancement of the kingdom in the world. I want to challenge you, meditate on Paul's letter to the Philippians and allow the Lord to talk to you through this letter and to ask you, to challenge you, how are you responding to the situation around you? How are others seeing you? How are you interpreting this whole situation? I want to challenge you to allow the Lord to speak to you through his message. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you challenge us to be joyful in all circumstances. And not only when things go well, but especially when things don't go the way we want them to go. Father, I thank you for everyone who is listening to this message. I pray, Lord, that you speak to us, that you challenge us to be joyful, to rejoice, and to really trust you, to be thankful, to be joyful, and to be prayerful in this time, this difficult time. Thank you, Father, for your word and how you encourage us through your word. And thank you, Jesus, that you are near and always with us. Amen. Thank you.